What's going on, everybody? It is your boy Dylan Matthews live in the Kia Studios giving you the hometown take. Make sure you follow the radio station at 929 The Game on all social media platforms. Follow myself as well at underscore Dylan Matthews on all social media platforms as well. Good Tuesday morning to you. Hope you are doing well. Hope you're getting your Tuesday started off right. And hey, if you're listening to me this morning, you're at least doing things halfway right on this Tuesday. Shout out to my guy Max Van Auken holding it down behind the glass. Appreciate you, Max.
Yes, sir.
And we got a lot to get into this morning. Woo, that boy Spencer Strider had that thing on him last night. He had that thing on him, y'all. We're going to get into that in about 19 minutes when we go around the A. We'll let you hear from Brian Snicker. We'll let you hear from Sam Hilliard, who also had a great night, 2 home runs for the boy Sam. We'll let you hear from Spencer Strider, of course, when we go around the A. We'll let you hear a couple of the highlights, too. Braves exercised some demons against the Miami Marlins last night. My goodness, if that wasn't getting some frustration out, I don't know what is. 11-0 win for the Bravos. We'll dive deeper into that, like I said, in about 18 minutes from now when we go around VA. Also, draft night getting closer and closer and closer. We are now just 2 days away from the NFL draft. Yes, the Atlanta Falcons. What are they going to do? People have their rumors. People have their reports. People have their mock drafts. We'll dive into it at 5:40 because I haven't really had a chance to give my take on what I think about the Falcons potentially drafting Bijan Robinson. I feel like I haven't really had a chance to give my take on that yet, so I'm going to give you my take on that because I know a lot of people are starting to fall in love with Bijan Robinson. I'm just going to save it. I'm going to give my take on it at 5:40. You can hear what I got to say then. But we got to start with the Atlanta Hawks, y'all. Until the season is over, we got to start with the Atlanta Hawks because love DeJounte Murray. I love what he brings as a player, two-way guard, plays great defense, big shot maker, has been great these past couple of games. But we all know the best ability is availability, and DeJounte Murray affected his own availability at the end of Game 4 on Sunday. If you haven't seen the video, you can go look it up on Twitter, find it easily, but it is a video of DeJounte Murray after Game 4. He was visibly upset with the referees, went up to one of the referees, made a little physical contact. Not a whole lot in it, but when you basically go up to a ref, size them up, and did what DeJounte Murray did, you're looking at a suspension. And that's exactly what DeJounte Murray got. 1-game suspension. He'll be suspended for tonight without pay. And couldn't have picked a worse time if you're DeJounte Murray. Hawks, backs up against the wall. Down 3-1, going back to TD Garden. And you decide to get suspended. Just not smart by DeJounte. And look, I haven't, again, love what DeJounte Murray brings to the table. Love his mentality. He got that dog in him, as we like to say. But this is one of the few times we're going to have to criticize DeJounte Murray because you just cannot do that. And that is one of those things you know you cannot do. You know you cannot do something like that to a ref or you're going to get suspended. It's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. That's just something that's going to happen. So you have to control yourself. You have to keep your emotions intact. And DeJounte Murray did not do that. And now, with the Hawks already being in a rough position, tonight, already going to Boston to try and keep their playoff hopes and keep their season hopes alive, now they have to do it without their second all-star. Now they have to do it without their second dude. who again has been playing well over these past couple of games. He's been making big shots, been doing some good things defensively, and now we don't have that guy. So, rough times for the Atlanta Hawks. So, a situation that was already bad got worse. You just can't do that, man. You really just can't let that happen. Hey, I know the playoffs, I've never been in that type of situation before. I've never felt those type of emotions. And I know DeJounte Murray was very, very upset about how game four went. You feel like that was a game that you could have won. It was there for you to win. You had ample opportunities. Just couldn't make big shots. Obviously, he was upset with what the refs weren't calling and maybe were calling. But that's just something you cannot let happen. Quinn Snyder talked about DeJounte Murray's suspension, and we'll let you hear a couple of clips about what he had to say. First, just his overall thoughts on the suspension.
You know, I saw the clip, so same thing everybody else has seen. And DeJounte and I did talk prior to and, you know, recently after, you know, we got the news that he was going to be suspended. I don't have a context or a frame of reference relative to those types of decisions. And, you know, again, that's why, you know, the league's in the position they're in to make those evaluations. So.
Yeah, I mean, Quinn Snyder really couldn't say anything. There's really no disputing what it was. He saw the clip. He know it went down. He know DeJounte was in the wrong. He's not going to say that about his player. He's going to stand up for his own player. That's also why he really couldn't say much about it. I mean, the league did what we knew what the league was going to do. You do that to a ref, you're going to get suspended, point blank, period. So now it becomes a question of how do the Hawks respond? How do they respond to this adversity? And also, what adjustment does Quinn Snyder make, especially to the starting lineup? Let's hear what he had to say about who is going to start in DeJounte Murray's place tonight.
With respect to start tomorrow, who starts? You know, I'm not sure. Normally, you know, I think historically when, you know, one of those guards has been out, you know, you can start another guard. You can go big. You know, I think we just found this out. So, you know, we need to meet as a staff and talk about it and see, you know, what makes the most sense for us relative to, you know, our opponent, Boston, matchups, all those things. So it impacts your rotations as well as just who's starting as well. So we got to look at that.
As far as who I think should start, I think you need to go with a bigger guard next to Trae Young. I don't think you want to go two small guards out there to start. So, I don't know. It really puts you in a tough spot. Just taking a look down through the Hawks roster. You can't start Jalen Johnson there. Do you maybe start AJ Griffin? Do you put him at that shooting guard spot? Maybe you put Sadiq Bey there. Bogey probably, if we're being honest, Bogey is probably going to get the start. But that just makes you such a liability on defense. Bogey has not been good defending Tatum or Brown when he's been on him. Heck, he hasn't even been good guarding Malcolm Brogdon. And that's no shot to Malcolm Brogdon. He's actually a very good offensive player, sixth man of the year this year. But with Trae Young and Bogey in the backfield, it's not a good backcourt when you're talking about defensively. So if I had to guess, Bogey's probably going to get the start. Maybe if you really wanted to shake things up, you could possibly throw Sadiq Bey in there as shooting guard, start him at shooting guard. Then you come out with Trae Young, Sadiq Bey, DeAndre Hunter, John Collins, Clint Capella. You could do that if you wanted to go a little bit bigger and you want to get a little bit more defensive. I would be all right with that. So we'll see. You could go Trent Forrest. I don't really like the idea of Trent Forrest starting right there, though. I think it's either Bogey or Sadiq Bey. I think it's one of those two. So we'll see who Quinn Snyder actually puts out there. If I had to guess, if I had to put money on it, probably Bogey. But I would not be surprised if Sadiq Bey got the start either. All right. Speaking of who's going to start, who's got to step up, Quinn Snyder talked about it's going to be a team effort. And you can't just have one guy step up in the absence of DeJounte Murray. It's going to take a full team effort. So Sadiq's going to have to step up, do a little bit extra. Bogey's going to have to step up, do a little bit extra. Everybody is going to have to step up in absence of DeJounte Murray.
Part of what our team does, and, you know, I think we've got to figure out, we've got to understand that, you know, contributions are going to have to come from, you know, a number of different players across the board. I don't think, you know, you can plug and play in a situation like this. So everybody's got to do their part.
Everybody's going to have to do their part. Everybody's going to have to step up extra. Trae Young, he's going to have to be big time. And look, if Boston tries to do what Miami did to Trae Young last year, just blitz him and maul him and double team him as soon as he crosses the half court line, Trae Young's just going to have to get the ball out of his hands quick. Bogey's going to have to be big time. Sadiq Bey's going to have to be big time. People are going to have to knock down open shots because they're going to have plenty of them if they decide to do what the Miami Heat did against Trae Young last year before we had DeJounte Murray, when they were just blitzing him, double-teaming him as soon as he got across half court. Again, Trae Young, get the ball out of your hands quick. Make smart passes. People are going to have to come to the ball. So it's going to be a big adjustment not having DeJounte Murray. It's going to be a big adjustment. And it's just unfortunate that it all feels like it's coming crashing down in game five. It feels like it was really all or nothing in game four. And after, obviously, you go down 3-1 now, going back to Boston. Now we lose DeJounte Murray. Not a good situation for the Hawks. Not a good situation at all. But look, teams have come back from 3-1. I don't know if it's going to happen in this scenario, but it could happen. What I do know is that Boston is going to come out red hot. They're going to come out with their hair on fire. They're going to come out and try and put you away early if you're the Atlanta Hawks. They're going to try and come out, hit you in the mouth, hit you with that knockout punch early, and try to just make tonight a celebration of moving on to the next round. They're going to try and put the Hawks away early and often and try to get the reserves in sooner rather than later. But Hawks going to have to do their best to try and avoid that. So we will see what happens tonight. But you know you can hear that game right here on the flagship station of the Atlanta Hawks, Sports Radio 92.9. The game pregame is at 7 o'clock. The tip at 7:30. Mike Conte holding you down for pregame, halftime, and postgame coverage of tonight's game five against the Celtics. And Steve Holman, bang, he's got you for all of the play-by-play action. So make sure you are listening to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game for your Game 5 coverage of Hawks at Celtics. But when we come back, you already know what time it is, people. It's going to be time to go around the A. Braves, big winners. Hawks battling for their playoff lives tonight. And the Falcons continue to get ready for the NFL draft. We're going to let you hear from Spencer Strider, Brian Snicker, Sam Hilliard. We're also going to let you hear from Trae Young, DeAndre Hunter, about it being a winner-go-home game. So we got a lot to cover when we go around the A. That's next on the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Back to your early morning sports fix.
Love is like this. Let's go, let's go.
This is the Hometown Take on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews. As we continue this Tuesday morning, thank you all for tuning in. Make sure you follow the radio station at 92.9 The Game. Follow myself at _ Dylan Matthews on all social media platforms. And it was a pretty eventful day in the A yesterday. We found out DeJounte Murray got suspended, which is what we talked about in the opening segment. The Braves put a straight-up beatdown on the Miami Marlins and exercised some demons, and the Falcons continue to get ready for the NFL draft. Let's talk about it all because it's time to take a trip around the A.
It's time for a look at our local sports scene. This is Around the A on the Hometown Take with Dylan Matthews.
All right. We got to start on a little bit of a lighter note since we talked about kind of a somber topic and a depressing topic with DeJounte Murray getting suspended at the top of the show. Let's start off with a little bit of good news. The Braves got back to their winning ways yesterday. Last night, they put a straight up beat down. As Randy McMichael say, they put foots in the Miami Marlins last night. 11-0 win. Spencer Strider, like I said, he had that thing on him. 8 innings pitch. Only gave up 2 hits. No runs. 13 strikeouts. And he actually set a Braves record last night for 9 straight starts with 9-plus strikeouts. We know Spencer Strider going to keep that 9 on him. That's why he wear that 99, because he at least going to strike somebody out 9 times. He at least getting the lineup 9 times, you know what I'm saying? So Spencer Strider dealing, had a no-hitter through the 8th, up until the 8th inning, but Juan Segura had to break that up and get him a hit. It's whatever. But Spencer Strider was absolutely amazing last night, but the bats were alive and well too, and Sam Hilliard had himself a night on offense. He had not one, but 2 home runs, and we're going to let you hear them both. Let's get the first one in.
Hilliard gives this a ride to center. That ball is out of here. Straight away center, 2-run bomb, Sam Hilliard.
But Sam Hilliard said, hold up, wait a minute. Y'all thought I was finished?
And Nolan's first offering is hit to right center. Hilliard, a 2-homer night.
Hilliard hit y'all with the another one. 2 home runs for Sam Hilliard last night. Braves win 11-0. He wasn't the only run getting involved in the home run game, though. Austin Riley, Eddie Rosario also hit home runs in the game. Ozzie Albies had a base-clearing triple as well. So Braves hit 5 home runs. Ozzie Albies had the bases clearing triple, and it was a good night offensively. And of course, like we said, Spencer Strider was on one last night. And Brian Snicker talked about Spencer Strider's performance. And needless to say, he was pretty proud of what the kid did last night.
That was pretty good. Just kind of, you know, we didn't have any stressful innings. Just flowing and just so smooth. And that ball was coming out really hot, too.
It was coming out hot. Spencer Strider was throwing that thing, man. And Brian Snicker actually also talked about he was a little bit nervous once they got into those late innings and Spencer Strider was going for that no-hitter.
Yeah, just, you know, I was looking, I was thinking, I told Riley, I said, that's probably as nervous as I get, other than when my daughter had to get her driver's license when she left on the run, you know, was when a guy, because you just worry about the pitch count getting up there. And, you know, and I was just kind of thinking tonight, well, he's, you know, the way he's going about it, I mean, he deserves a shot at it, even if it gets elevated a little bit.
And Snit, such a great manager, realizes that the dude's going for a no-hitter, lets him go for it. Like you said there, even if his pitch count got a little elevated, he was ready to let Spencer Strider go for the no-hitter. So just a great move by the manager there. Most managers would do that, but, you know, just you love to hear a manager say, hey, we got to let the man go for it. Young man was out there balling, throwing that thing, and he let him go for it. But he was also in position to be able to let him go for it because he was efficient, Spencer Strider. He was getting a lot of strikeouts, obviously, 13 strikeouts, but he also got a lot of 2-pitch outs, too, and Brian Snicker was really impressed with that.
No, it was very, yeah. I mean, he had all the strikeouts, but he had a lot of, you know, 2-pitch outs also, which is, I think, was really good. And that's, he probably is happy about the fact that he went 8 innings as anything.
So hopefully Spencer Strider can continue that. And look, I would love to get this kind of performance out of Spencer Strider every night. And it's not going to be close to a no-hitter every night. I mean, maybe it could be. I hope so. But just the longevity and the way he was able to go deep into the game. We can get like 8 innings from Spencer Strider on a pretty consistent basis. That is good news for the Atlanta Braves, especially when Spencer Strider is the guy who obviously is going to rack up a lot of strikeouts. Obviously, 9 straight starts with 9 plus strikeouts. Getting all those strikeouts is going to put your pitch count up. But if he can also be efficient in those outs that are not strikeouts, like last night getting a lot of 2 pitch outs, like Snit was saying, that is great for the Atlanta Braves, and that is great for Spencer Strider. So hopefully that was a sign of things to come for Spencer Strider, and hopefully we can just continue to beat up on the Miami Marlins. The series continues tonight over at Truist Park. Charlie Morton on the mound for the Bravos tonight, and look, would love to get a sweep of the Miami Marlins and start up another winning streak, especially get some momentum going into the Mets series. That's who we play next, and the Mets, last time I checked, I didn't see if they won last night or not, if they even played, but last time I checked, they were only a half game out, so definitely want to continue to beat up on the Miami Marlins. All right, we let you hear the home runs from Sam Hilliard. Now let's let you hear from Sam Hilliard for himself. He was speaking after the game, and he was just saying how he's feeling confident at the plate right now.
Yeah, I feel pretty good. You know, just was able to get in some good counts tonight, get some good pitches, able to drive, and yeah, put a good swing on him.
He sure did. He put 2 good swings on 2 pitches last night, and we got to let you hear from that guy, Spencer Strider, before we move on to the Atlanta Hawks, right? Spencer Strider just talked about his performance last night, and honestly, he wasn't even going that crazy about the no-hitter. He was most happy about going 8 innings. Here's Spencer Strider on his performance last night.
You know, I'm just grateful that I made it that deep in the game, to be honest with you. I mean, to get through 4 without walking a guy to me is like, you know, a good day, so... you know, we threw strikes, attacked. Murph called a great game, you know, and so when you do that stuff well, the little things, throw first strikes and that kind of stuff, it goes well usually.
Yeah, usually when you throw for strikes and you're throwing that gas like Spencer Strider be throwing, a lot of people aren't going to catch up to it, so you're going to strike a lot of guys out or get a lot of pop-ups or slow ground balls or things like that, and Spencer Strider was on his A game, his A-plus game last night. And he also talked about, you know, sometimes when guys are going for no-hitters, they just won't talk to anybody. Everybody leaves them alone. You just see them kind of sitting there by themselves, kind of just staring off into the distance, keeping themselves in the zone. Spencer Strider talked about that last night, if he was talking to anybody during his no-hitter.
Yeah, we still did. I mean, normally when things are going that well and guys are seeing such few pitches, there's not as much to discuss. I mean, because things are going well, so we kind of know what to do. But, yeah, we conversed before each inning, and, yeah, I mean, I was aware. But, you know, that's kind of cool. Cool to be there. Grateful for it.
Cool to be there. It was cool to watch, Spencer. So, hey, if you want to give us some more outings like that, sign us up. We would love to watch some almost, even almost no-hit bids. I would love to watch what I saw last night from Spencer Strider every 5th day from the young man. So Braves again get the 11-0 win. Like I told you, Charlie Morton on the mound for the Atlanta Braves tonight as they continue their 4-game set with the Miami Marlins. Game 2 tonight, first pitch scheduled for 7:20. Talked about it at the beginning of the show, the Atlanta Hawks gonna have to try and fight for their playoff lives without DeJounte Murray tonight, as he is suspended without pay for this game. And hopefully we didn't see DeJounte Murray for the last time on Sunday, but that could very well be the case. So, again, Trae Young has to step up. Everybody has to step up. Simple as that. Whole entire team. Bogey, if he gets put into the starting lineup, if he gets the starting nod, he's going to have to make big shots. He's been pretty good as of late. Sadiq Bey is going to have to make shots. John Collins, he's had a lot of open looks that he hasn't been able to knock down. He's going to need to make shots. Everybody is going to have to step up in the absence of DeJounte Murray. So if I was saying this in the beginning of the show, if the Celtics decide to blitz Trae Young as soon as he crosses half court like the Miami Heat did in their series last year in the first round of the playoffs, Trae Young's just got to get the ball out of his hands quick, and he's got to trust his guys to make plays and make shots. And look, if ever there was a time to see Trae Young try to move without the ball, I know That was supposed to be a thing with DeJounte Murray in the lineup, but it might help if Trae Young can do a little bit of that without DeJounte Murray in the lineup tonight, but we'll see. Trae Young's probably going to have the ball in his hands a lot tonight with the absence of DeJounte Murray, and we'll see what this thing looks like without DeJounte after having a full season with him. So Hawks just got to battle, got to come out swinging, throw the first punch, all those mantras and all those cliches. You got to do all that tonight because Boston is going to try and put the Hawks away quickly tonight. They're going to try and do it very, very quickly. Again, you can hear that game right here on the flagship station of the Atlanta Hawks, Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, pregame at 7, tip at 7:30. You already know what's going on right now. We're going around the A right here on the Hometown Take with your boy Dylan Matthews as we continue around the A, the NFL draft on Thursday. Can you believe it? It feels like it was so far away, but then it was like, boom, I'm here now. What's up? So the NFL draft is getting underway. It's going to be very, very exciting. I mean, the draft, everybody always talks about when does the draft start. For me this year, if I had to be like, oh, the draft starts number two. I mean, it feels like the Panthers are going to take Bryce Young with the number one overall pick. But now we're hearing rumblings about maybe the Houston Texans aren't going to take CJ Stroud with the number two overall pick. So the draft starts at number two. No idea what's going to happen after that. No idea what the Falcons are going to do. If I had to make an educated guess, I think they go corner. But I could see them getting defensive line, especially if Jalen Carter falls, if Tyree Wilson is there. They could go Nolan Smith. I mean, there are just so many ways the Atlanta Falcons could go because they have set themselves up so nicely in free agency. They have really addressed every single need in every single hole in free agency. So now that the draft has come along, they can do what they have been doing the past 2 years under Terry Fontenot and Arthur Smith, and that is draft the best player available. Which brings me into what we're going to get into next, because a lot of people say that Bijan Robinson is going to be the best player available when the Falcons pick at number 8. So a lot of mock drafts have the Atlanta Falcons picking Bijan Robinson. And I'm going to give you my thoughts on that in about 6 minutes when we come back. How do you feel? I'll ask this first. How do you feel about the Falcons potentially drafting Bijan Robinson with the number 8 overall pick? Do you like it? Do you not like it? What are your thoughts? I will give you mine on the other side. Wait about 6 minutes for me, and I'll give you my take on the Falcons potentially drafting Bijan Robinson with the number 8 overall pick. That was Around the A. This is the Hometown Take on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Let's talk some draft next. Let's talk Bijan Robinson. Would he be a good fit for the Falcons? Should they do it? We'll talk about it next, right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews. Good Tuesday morning to you. Hope you are doing well. Hope you are getting your Tuesday started off right. Shout out to all my overnighters, my third shifters, my truck drivers out there who are possibly ending their Tuesday shift, about to go home, get a nap, or my truck drivers out there driving state to state. Maybe they pulled over to a truck stop, getting a little snooze in, chilling out before they continue to deliver the goods. So shout out to everybody out there working overnight, working the graveyard shift, and the truck drivers delivering the goods from state to state. I appreciate you, and I'm sure we all appreciate you as well. But hopefully anybody listening right now, hope you're doing well. Hope you're starting your Tuesday. Hope your Tuesday is going good. The NFL draft, 2 days away. Thursday night, it goes down. And speaking of which, we will have full draft coverage here for you on Thursday. Mike Conti, Wes Durham, Dave Archer, They're going to be at the Falcons draft party at Atlantic Station on Thursday night. Show gets underway at 8 p.m. It's going to go from 8 to 11. So they're going to be there for you to react to the Falcons' number 8 overall pick. And potentially if the Falcons decide to, you know, maybe trade back, which has been rumored, they trade back and they pick a little later, they'll be on for that. Or if for whatever reason, and if maybe the Falcons trade back into the first round after making one first round selection, they trade back into the first round, they'll have you covered for that as well. So they'll either be on until 11 or the Falcons are done in the first round. But that doesn't stop there. That's not the only Atlanta Falcons draft coverage we're going to have. No, 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 no. Friday, Andy and Randy, Dukes and Bell, John Chuckery, they're all going to be at the Falcons headquarters in Flowery Branch in the Ticketmaster Studios reacting to the draft, continuing to give you live reactions. John Chuckery, I know for sure, is going to have second, third round coverage for you as well. Andy and Randy, Dukes and Bell, they're all going to be reacting to what the Falcons did day one. So we got wall-to-wall NFL draft coverage for you. We got you covered when it comes to things all Atlanta Falcons and all things NFL draft as well. So what are the Falcons going to do with this number 8 overall pick, huh? What do you think they're going to do? You can tweet at me at _DylanMatthews. There are some rumors, some mock drafts, some reports that the Atlanta Falcons possibly would draft Texas running back Bijan Robinson with the number 8 overall pick. I don't like it. I'm going to be straight up with y'all. Not feeling that. Not because Bijan Robinson is not a good player. I think he's going to be a really good NFL player. I think he's going to be a really good NFL running back. He's versatile. He can catch passes out of the backfield. Obviously, we know he can tote the rock. So it's nothing to do with Bijan Robinson. I just think we could, and I know the Falcons, Terry Fontenot, Arthur Smith, I understand and I completely grasp that they are all about the fact that they are going to draft the best player available. I understand that wholeheartedly, and I love that draft philosophy. I think that is the way to go when you talk about the NFL draft. However, a running back at number 8, really? We just drafted a fifth round running back that rushed over 1,000 yards. And mind you, everybody's like, oh, well, he had 17 games. No, he didn't. He did not have 17 games. He had 16 games. He was inactive week one. So he rushed for over 1,000 yards in 16 games. That's pretty impressive. I think we can move forward with that. I think we are going to move forward with that. And if you draft him at 8, Bijan Robinson, that is, how do you split up the carries? Is it 50-50? I mean, what is it? Because I still want Tyler Algier toting that thing too. I think Tyler Algier has shown he can be the number one back. We're still going to have Cordarrelle Patterson. I mean, maybe we use him in the pass game more, but I just think, one, I mean, the running back room can never truly be full, so I get that. You want depth at every single position, including running back. But I just think that's really rich to draft a running back. Now, you would be getting a great running back, a guy who is an elite pass catcher out of the backfield. You could even line him up in the slot at times if you wanted to. So, a very versatile weapon. I know Bijan Robinson will be a great addition to this team. I just think that draft pick is best used elsewhere. I would much rather see the Atlanta Falcons draft Christian Gonzalez, Devin Witherspoon, a Tyree Wilson if he's there, definitely a Jalen Carter if he's there. Nolan Smith should be there. I'd rather see them draft him. Because I still am of the belief we need to continue to bolster this defense in some way. And we did just release Casey Hayward, and I know they are not going to make a draft decision based on them just getting rid of Casey Hayward. So they didn't release Casey Hayward, the Falcons. They didn't release Casey Hayward because they knew they were going to draft corner. No, that's not how they're going about their business. But they did just release Casey Hayward. So that's one less corner that you thought you were going to have that now you don't have. So I would rather not see the Falcons draft Bijan Robinson. Plus, you've gone offense the past 2 years. I know that doesn't matter because, again, they're going to draft the best player available. And it all comes down to who do they think is the best player available? And is their best player available going to be there at number 8? Because maybe it's Christian Gonzalez or Devin Witherspoon, and they're not there. Maybe it's Nolan Smith. Maybe it's Bijan. So there's no telling what the Falcons are going to do. They really are a wild card. Like, they are the biggest wild card in this NFL draft. Easily. Easily the biggest wild card. Because they could go in so many different directions and they could all make sense. Because even Bijan makes sense. I don't think it's the best move. It's not who I would personally take, but I'm not the GM of the Atlanta Falcons or the head coach. But Bijan would make sense. Now you got two young running backs on rookie deals who would be very good running backs. I know Bijan would be very good. Obviously, Tyler Allgeier proved what he can do last year in his rookie year as a fifth-round pick. So you have a dynamic duo when it comes to running back. You still have Cordarrelle Patterson, who you can use at running back. You could also let Cordarrelle be a weapon more in the receiving game if you wanted to now. So another big body receiver for Desmond Ridder. Or you could just use Cordarrelle Patterson kind of like a Deebo Samuel, how a Deebo Samuel is using San Fran. So it would make sense. But also, Christian Gonzalez and Devin Witherspoon make a lot of sense because now you would have three very young, very talented defensive backs. And whether you draft Christian Gonzalez or Devin Witherspoon, you would have arguably the best secondary in the NFL because you would be getting a ready cornerback, a starting caliber corner with the number 8 overall pick in Christian Gonzalez, Devin Witherspoon. You have A.J. Terrell, who's arguably one of the best, if not the best, corner in the league. Then you trade it for Jeff Okuda. You get what everybody believes Jeff Okuda will bring to the table. Add Mike Hughes to that conversation. You have one of the best, if not the best, secondary in the NFL. So that is very enticing to me. If Tyree Wilson is there, Nolan Smith is there. Nolan Smith, I'm not saying he's Micah Parsons, but Micah Parsons-esque. He's that type of dude. He could be that type of dude. That's very enticing to me. So I just think Bijan is a little bit below a Nolan Smith, a Tyree Wilson, a Jalen Carter, a Devin Witherspoon, a Christian Gonzalez. I just think adding those type of players would be a lot more helpful to the team than adding a Bijan Robinson because you have Tyler Allgeier, you have Cordarrelle Patterson, you are solid at running back. I mean, you're solid at every position, but I just feel like a Christian Gonzalez or Devin Witherspoon would make a bigger impact right away. I think a Tyree Wilson or Nolan Smith would make a bigger impact right away. Obviously, a Jalen Carter, I think he would make a bigger impact right away. So that's just my 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 cents on it. Let me know what you think at _ Dylan Matthews. Tweet at your boy. And coming up next, it's about that time to talk to the morning shift. Tiffany Blackman back in the stew. We going to catch up with her. Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan alongside her as well. The morning shift is back to full health, just like we're trying to get the Braves back to full health. The morning shift back in its entirety, and we'll catch up with them next, see how they're doing, see what they got coming up on the show. And again, rumor has it, they got a big show lined up, especially the 8 o'clock hour. We'll find all that out when we talk to the morning shift next, right here on the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Sports Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews. Good Tuesday morning to you. Hope you are doing well. Hope you are getting your Tuesday started off right. Shout out to all my overnighters, my third shifters, my truck drivers out there who are possibly ending their Tuesday shift, about to go home, get a nap, or my truck drivers out there driving state to state. Maybe they pulled over to a truck stop, getting a little snooze in, chilling out before they continue to deliver the goods. So shout out to everybody out there working overnight, working the graveyard shift, and the truck drivers delivering the goods from state to state. I appreciate you, and I'm sure we all appreciate you as well. But hopefully anybody listening right now, hope you're doing well. Hope you're starting your Tuesday. Hope your Tuesday is going good. The NFL draft, 2 days away. Thursday night, it goes down. And speaking of which, we will have full draft coverage here for you on Thursday. Mike Conti, Wes Durham, Dave Archer, they're going to be at the Falcons draft party at Atlantic Station on Thursday night. Show gets underway at 8 p.m. It's going to go from 8 to 11. So they're going to be there for you to react to the Falcons' number 8 overall pick, and potentially if the Falcons decide to, you know, maybe trade back, which has been rumored, they trade back and they pick a little later, they'll be on for that. Or if for whatever reason, and if maybe the Falcons trade back into the first round after making one first round selection, they trade back into the first round, they'll have you covered for that as well. So they'll either be on until 11 or the Falcons are done in the first round. But that doesn't stop there. That's not the only Atlanta Falcons draft coverage we're going to have. No, 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 no. Friday, Andy and Randy, Dukes and Bell, John Chuckery, they're all going to be at the Falcons headquarters in Flowery Branch in the Ticketmaster Studios reacting to the draft, continuing to give you live reactions. John Chuckery, I know for sure, is going to have second, third round coverage for you as well. Andy and Randy, Dukes and Bell, they're all going to be reacting to what the Falcons did day one. So we got wall-to-wall NFL draft coverage for you. We got you covered when it comes to things all Atlanta Falcons and all things NFL draft as well. So what are the Falcons going to do with this number 8 overall pick, huh? What do you think they're going to do? You can tweet at me at underscore Dylan Matthews. There are some rumors, some mock drafts, some reports that the Atlanta Falcons possibly would draft Texas running back Bijan Robinson with the number 8 overall pick. I don't like it. I'm going to be straight up with y'all. Not feeling that. Not because Bijan Robinson is not a good player. I think he's going to be a really good NFL player. I think he's going to be a really good NFL running back. He's versatile. He can catch passes out of the backfield. Obviously, we know he can tote the rock. So it's nothing to do with Bijan Robinson. I just think we could, and I know the Falcons, Terry Fontenot, Arthur Smith, I understand and I completely grasp that they are all about the fact that they are going to draft the best player available. I understand that wholeheartedly, and I love that draft philosophy. I think that is the way to go when you talk about the NFL draft. However, a running back at number 8, really? We just drafted a fifth round running back that rushed over 1,000 yards. And mind you, everybody's like, oh, well, he had 17 games. No, he didn't. He did not have 17 games. He had 16 games. He was inactive week one. So he rushed for over 1,000 yards in 16 games. That's pretty impressive. I think we can move forward with that. I think we are going to move forward with that. And if you draft him at 8, Bijan Robinson, that is, how do you split up the carries? Is it 50-50? I mean, what is it? Because I still want Tyler Algier toting that thing too. I think Tyler Algier has shown he can be the number one back. We're still going to have Cordarrelle Patterson. I mean, maybe we use him in the pass game more, but I just think, one, I mean, the running back room can never truly be full, so I get that. You want depth at every single position, including running back. But I just think that's really rich to draft a running back. Now, you would be getting a great running back, a guy who is an elite pass catcher out of the backfield. You could even line him up in the slot at times if you wanted to. So, a very versatile weapon. I know Bijan Robinson will be a great addition to this team. I just think that draft pick is best used elsewhere. I would much rather see the Atlanta Falcons draft Christian Gonzalez, Devin Witherspoon, a Tyree Wilson if he's there, definitely a Jalen Carter if he's there. Nolan Smith should be there. I'd rather see them draft him. Because I still am of the belief we need to continue to bolster this defense in some way. And we did just release Casey Hayward, and I know they are not going to make a draft decision based on them just getting rid of Casey Hayward. So they didn't release Casey Hayward, the Falcons. They didn't release Casey Hayward because they knew they were going to draft corner. No, that's not how they're going about their business. But they did just release Casey Hayward. So that's one less corner that you thought you were going to have that now you don't have. So I would rather not see the Falcons draft Bijan Robinson. Plus, you've gone offense the past 2 years. And I know that doesn't matter because, again, they're going to draft the best player available. And it all comes down to who do they think is the best player available? And is their best player available going to be there at number 8? Because maybe it's Christian Gonzalez or Devin Witherspoon, and they're not there. Maybe it's Nolan Smith. Maybe it's Bijan. So there's no telling what the Falcons are going to do. They really are a wild card. Like, they are the biggest wild card in this NFL draft. Easily. Easily the biggest wild card. Because they could go in so many different directions, and they could all make sense. Because even Bijan makes sense. I don't think it's the best move. It's not who I would personally take, but I'm not the GM of the Atlanta Falcons or the head coach. But Bijan would make sense. Now you got two young running backs on rookie deals who would be very good running backs. I know Bijan would be very good. Obviously, Tyler Allgeier proved what he can do last year in his rookie year as a fifth-round pick. So you have a dynamic duo when it comes to running back. You still have Cordarrelle Patterson, who you can use at running back. You could also let Cordarrelle be a weapon more in the receiving game if you wanted to now. So another big-body receiver for Desmond Ridder. Or you could just use Cordarrelle Patterson kind of like a Deebo Samuel, how a Deebo Samuel is using San Fran. So it would make sense. But also, Christian Gonzalez and Devin Witherspoon make a lot of sense because now you would have three very young, very talented defensive backs. And whether you draft Christian Gonzalez or Devin Witherspoon, you would have arguably the best secondary in the NFL because you would be getting a ready cornerback, a starting caliber corner, with the number 8 overall pick in Christian Gonzalez, Devin Witherspoon. You have A.J. Terrell, who's arguably one of the best, if not the best, corner in the league. Then you trade it for Jeff Okuda. You get what everybody believes Jeff Okuda will bring to the table. Add Mike Hughes to that conversation. You have one of the best, if not the best, secondary in the NFL. So that is very enticing to me. If Tyree Wilson is there, Nolan Smith is there. Nolan Smith, I'm not saying he's Micah Parsons, but Micah Parsons-esque. He's that type of dude. He could be that type of dude. That's very enticing to me. So I just think Bijan is a little bit below a Nolan Smith, a Tyree Wilson, a Jalen Carter, a Devin Witherspoon, a Christian Gonzalez. I just think adding those type of players would be a lot more helpful to the team than adding a Bijan Robinson because you have Tyler Rozier, you have Cordarrelle Patterson, you are solid at running back. I mean, you're solid at every position, but I just feel like a Christian Gonzalez or Devin Witherspoon will make a bigger impact right away. I think a Tyree Wilson or Nolan Smith would make a bigger impact right away. Obviously, a Jalen Carter, I think he would make a bigger impact right away. So that's just my 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 cents on it. Let me know what you think at underscore Dylan Matthews. Tweet at your boy. And coming up next, it's about that time to talk to the morning shift. Tiffany Blackman back in the stew. We going to catch up with her. Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan alongside her as well. The morning shift is back to full health, just like we're trying to get the Braves back to full health. The morning shift back in its entirety, and we'll catch up with them next, see how they're doing, see what they got coming up on the show. And again, rumor has it, they got a big show lined up, especially the 8 o'clock hour. We'll find all that out when we talk to the morning shift next, right here on the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.